Now, once again, here's Mark. Rolled out to my
Chevrolet. I climbed out. Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. And for the next 2 hours, you're stuck with me and a couple of my friends. And if you have a question, we're going to talk first a little bit about somebody that's important to all of us. But we're also going to take calls, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And what we want to tell you is we want you to tell us the year, make, and model of your car, how many miles, and we're going to talk symptoms, okay? We're going to talk symptoms. We are not going to talk about YouTube University or what some guy said in Nashville, Tennessee. Okay, we're interested in symptoms. We can best help you by asking you questions. Questions like, where's the vibration in the seat of your pants or in the steering wheel? And does it crank, or does it, when you say it doesn't start, does it, that means it not crank over, or it cranks over and it doesn't fire? So those are kind of important distinctions that we talk. On my right is Tom Blackwell. He just got out of jail. I think you have to be back Monday morning.
Monday morning, but everybody needs to know why why I'm on probation.
Oh, I thought you. No.
Okay. It was from back. Remember when you got in that facility and I had to break you out of it? You remember that?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, well, that's what happened. And I know something about Mark that a lot of people don't know because of that, you know, and the position he was in. But I'm going to let Mark tell you about that.
Okay,
Tom. Do you remember that?
we're going to have to take a break here pretty quick, and then we'll decide what you're going to tell. I think you're going to tell the story about when I had hit my head.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I was tired. I was at the county hospital, and I was really tired, and I wasn't getting better. And there was a guy next to me laying in the ER who was messing with the guy on the other side of him.
It really wasn't anything like that. It was when you hit your head, right. But it was the color of the undergarments that you were wearing that bothered me.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're not going there either.
Okay,
but Tom came and broke me out. I remember we were walking out, and I was in my paper jammies.
Exactly.
And there was a bunch of doctors standing in front of me.
My eyes still hurt because of that, but go on.
Okay. So there's a bunch of doctors in front because they say I can't leave. And so Tom and I, it was like a football game. He faked right, went left, and I just went straight. And we walked out, and we got in the car, and we left. And I still had my paper jammies on when we did that. And now we all want to
ride down the
freeway
much better than OJ.
What?
And now we all want to poke out our mind's eye.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. That's Greg Kelly sitting next to me, and then his wife is Kennan, and she's also here as well. Have you two guys worked together a long time?
Yeah.
Okay. And how long have you worked together?
Well, basically, we've worked together for 15 years.
Okay. All right. Now, this is my analogy, okay, in my world. Okay, Renee is Snow White. She takes care of the kids. She gives them love and dove and stuff. She's the one that says yes. I'm Jack the Ripper. I say no. So when they say in high school, we're going to go to this big boondocker party, and then afterwards we're going to get drunk, and we're going to drive our cars home, Renee will say, ask your father. Because she doesn't make those. So which one of you is which?
You know, that's pretty close to accurate, although... as quiet and timid as she seems, these two boys will push the button, and the tiger definitely does come out.
And that's Ken. Yes. Okay. You agree with that?
I agree.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're the softy.
I wouldn't say he's the softy.
Oh, you got two Jack the Rippers in your house.
Yeah. Not the softy, but it's the same thing. So, you know, when your dad gets home. And I have this next-door neighbor. They're big into horses, and they had this whole bunch of leather things they were going to throw out one day, and I went over there, and you know, people are going to think I'm a child abuser when they hear this, but she had this nice little leather strap that you use to, you know. Mm-hmm.
Are we going to get into something that we're going to be scared to hear?
It's not kinky.
All right,
we're getting there.
But all we have to do, either one of us, is get that out and smack it on the counter, and these two boys, they perk up and they start to listen. They don't want to have anything to do with that.
Okay, now, that reminds me. I have a paddle that I made. I actually outlined a putting knife and then made it a long paddle. There are three big long nails in the paddle. All right? And I threaten the kids with this, the grandkids. But what they know now is I, by 3,000s, the nails fit in the wooden paddle. Then I've siliconed the nails so when you swat them, it pops the nails out the back. So the first time I use that, their eyes are huge, and it's just not a hard swat because you're kind of scared. So, you know, and then they're going, ow. Well, you know, there was no ow. But, you know, and then when their friends come over, they go, Papa, spank him, you know. And I said, well, I glued the nails in this time. So both of you have kind of, you share the discipline of the kids. Blackwell, I don't need to tell you.
The beatings will continue until morale improves is how my life was ended up. Yeah. I can't help it.
So Tom Blackwell, 40th Street and Greenway, been around since. Working on cars?
1985, actually in business, but before that it was in the driveway since I was three.
Okay. All right, working on cars for a long
time. Tricycles is when it started up, but anyway.
And Greg and Kenan, you guys opened up the shop. Do you remember?
Well, I've been on that corner now 39 years.
Okay.
Wow. It's a long time.
So that was about 1994, somewhere around there?
Well, we – no, your math is off.
All right.
That store opened up in 77 or 78. I came into it in 80 or 81. It became my store in 91, 92.
Okay. All right. We moved in here in 1994, and we were the only guy on the block. So we've been here since then. And Renee and I have been married 45 years. She was only like six when I married her.
And that goes back to I don't even want to get into that.
Yeah,
you created a whole lot of material there with just one statement.
Yeah, well, that doesn't mean we both have our own divorce attorneys. Everybody I meet, I say, do you divorce? I give them a dollar. That way she can't hire them. So I spend a little bit of money that way.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. You've given them the retainer.
Yeah.
You started the retainer by any means. But at least you started a payment on the retainer.
He can't take the case because he now works for me for a dollar. Some of them object. Some of them will throw the. Okay, we're here because in the industry here in Phoenix, there were some guys that really started the industry. There was Whitey Omgell out of Scottsdale, Harry Martin out of Scottsdale, Jim Winters all over the place, Bill Bridwell, who's been around since Jesus was a baby, and then Kelly Clark, which is your dad.
Yes.
And so first of all, let us tell you that the reason why we're all here together, because we want to honor Kelly, because day before yesterday he passed on to the next life. And Kelly was a friend of Tom's, mine, and of course Greg is his son. So we... Start at the beginning. Where was Kelly born? Start there.
Kelly was born in Tulsa.
Okay.
My mom was born, I'm going to mix this up. She was either, I can't remember if she was born in Abilene and moved to Shamrock or born in Shamrock and moved to Abilene, but they met in Tolleson, Arizona, going to Tolleson High School. My dad played football and, you know, they've been high school sweethearts.
Ever since.
Ever since. They, grandfather Bert opened up a Chevron gas station in Tolleson, which then my uncle Alvin, my dad's brother, and him ran. And then shortly after that, I don't have the exact timelines, but Grandpa moved out into Phoenix, and they opened up the 12th Street in Glendale mobile gas station. And at that time, it was the only thing on the corner. It was nothing but, you know, grapefruit and orange orchards all around it.
Yep.
And they told them they were crazy for going that far out of town because that was, you know, that was like
Egypt.
Now I live in New River. That was like New River back in the day. And they did well there because they ran a good business.
And the two brothers got along well.
The two brothers got along. Alvin stayed in Tolleson and ran the Tolleson store. And they did a similar thing there. They built a shop behind it, and that one was called Clark's Automotive.
Okay.
And then my dad... I can't remember the exact year, but somewhere in the 70s, about the mid-70s, built the first shop at 12th Street in Glendale behind the gas station.
Gotcha.
And that place just, you know, because of the way he ran business and the way he treated customers, that place took off and has always done well.
And what do you remember? How old are you right now, approximately? You don't have to be...
I'm too old, but I'm 55.
Okay. What do you remember as your earliest memories? Do you remember the Tolleson facility, or do you remember the Chevron, or...?
Some of my earliest memories are of going to Tolleson to see my parents. I didn't hang out at the Chevron station at Tolleson too much, but I remember it. What I really remember is my grandparents had... a place out in Florence. It was a little gas station with a restaurant. And I got a great story. So one of my dad's friends, Pat Vint, and him, we're going to fly out and see the grandparents.
Okay.
And, you know, my daddy's always been a pilot. He's always loved to fly planes. So they rent this little 172 Cessna, which is, you know, just two seats in the front. There's nothing in the back. So they throw me in the tail.
Okay.
We take off. We fly out. Well, as we set down in Apache Junction, Pat's pilot, my dad's co-pilot. They're going to set down on this little dirt road runway. Well, as he sets down, the wing clips a tree. The plane goes spinning, flips upside down. I can remember to this day bouncing around in the back of this plane. And as soon as the plane comes to a stop, my dad grabs me, kicks the door open, throws me out in the dirt, and we get out because, you know, he didn't know if the plane was on fire or whatever. And, I remember the whole town of Florence, a whole parade of cars coming out to see this plane crash. Mm-hmm. And all I ended up was with a bruise on my cheek. And, Pat is, he's a character, and it was something to do with the way the insurance was. So Pat lit the plane on fire.
Oh.
The plane didn't catch on
Pat's
fire.
Pat's dead, though, right?
No, Pat's still alive.
Okay, don't use his last name.
Okay.
There's no statute of limitations for that.
Pat lit the plane on fire, so it got covered under insurance or something somehow. And I remember when they took us back in, I'm in the restaurant, and the sheriffs are questioning my dad and Pat and my grandma, saying they're going to go to jail. They're going to go to jail. And they never did go to jail. My dad was – he was the smoothest talker ever. He could talk his way out of anything, and it was, you know – well, that was one of the early memories I have.
Okay. I want to describe how tall was your dad?
6'3".
Okay. He had hands like tennis rackets, didn't he?
Yeah.
He just had – and he was the nicest guy in the world till he got mad.
13 double E, I believe, shoes.
Yeah. All right. I met a guy the other day named Dave Harris. He had 17 and a halves, and they were as wide as they were long. But, you know, he needs that kind of – to just hold his big head up. But I understand. Now, when we come back, you got some stories, Tom,
about
Kelly. And I've got some stories about Kelly, and then we're going to touch base about Kelly's wife, Rita, because she and him were a pair to draw to.
Oh, man.
They
yin and yang.
Oh, in a great way,
Yeah.
But he would just shake his head no matter how she was talking, and she, when she talked, everybody else was listening. Yeah. You didn't dare interrupt Rita. 602-508-0960. If you have a fond memory of Kelly Clark, or if you did business with him way back when, you don't have to tell us how old you are, but 602-508-0960.
The mechanic raised up from under my hood and shook his head.
Welcome back, everybody. 20 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Real quick, let me tell you about a good repair shop if you're in Mesa. Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing's been around since 1970. Brian and Thelma both have family that date back to the 60s in the car repair business. So if you're looking in Mesa for a good shop, they have ASC-certified technicians. They're on Main Street just east of Stapley on the south side of the road. And all you have to do is meet Brian or Thelma for the first time, and you'll understand how come I think they're the best and the most important shop in Mesa. Now, they're not the only good shop, but they're the only good shop that I have found. So if you're in Mesa, you only have one choice as far as I'm concerned. That's Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. Tom, what were you going to say about the fire in the plane?
Well, I've known Greg for a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, probably, 20 minutes now? Anyway.
Okay.
I'm sure the story was right about Greg actually lit the fire.
Oh, you know.
And
that,
covered it up with this other story.
He was in the back of the airplane smoking cigarettes, and that's what happened.
Yeah, and flipping around. So now we know
real
story.
I had about a pack-a-day habit at 4 or 5 years old.
Right.
All righty. So we're gonna continue to talk about Kelly. You've kind of laid the groundwork. And real quick, you knew Kelly before you bought the shop?
I mean, I knew of him.
Okay.
Of him. But my first conversation with him was in 1994.
Okay.
And he, you know, by my good fortune, was able to capitalize on him he was going to build the property that I'm in now.
Okay.
And the building I'm in now.
Okay.
And when we first started talking about it, and I told him how I found out that he was selling it, he paused and he goes, well, Rita and myself and Cheryl, his daughter, Greg's sister, said, we had just made this decision. How did you find out about it? Well, anyway, I thought he was pulling my leg. you know, maybe thrown the bait out there.
Right.
But as time moved on, he's just a great what you see is what you get guy.
No, you're right.
And has a real good sense of humor. I got to tell you something. So 4, 5, 6, 8 years, however long into knowing him, he calls me up one night. Now, a guy he had working for him named Mark, and I can't remember Mark's last name.
Morgan.
Mark Morgan, yeah, thank you, was building computers. So he built Kelly some computers so that he could turn around and play these games, war games, with people around
it's
the world.
It's called, what is it, Unreal Tournament.
Unreal Tournament, yeah. Well, 12 o'clock at night. Now, Rita's gone. 12 o'clock midnight, he calls me up, and I'm thinking something's wrong. He says, can you get over here right now? And I go, what are you talking about? And he goes, just come to my house right now. He wanted another player at his house playing war games.
So you could gang up on Mark.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm over at his house. I get there at, I don't know, we lived 20 minutes away. Anyway, I go over there. We get playing on the computers. Well, the sun's coming up. Now, what is interesting about the story is here's a guy with the background, the history, he's on the perch as far as guys around town that were in business that wanted to be like him.
You're
like
right.
A god.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm sitting here looking at him at 2 o'clock in the morning, and he's like a little kid on here. He goes, you see that? You see that? You see
that?
Is this
like an old Apple or something like that?
Whatever they were, I know that they were the trickiest thing of, 2001 or two. They were clear and they had lights in them and they had all kinds of stuff.
Water cooled processor. Liquid cooled, I should say.
Okay.
Yes. Maybe
now, this
water.
Is long before the internet. So you guys are playing against one another.
This is the beginning of it. This is 2001. I mean, it was the beginning of moving in those games.
Okay.
But anyway, that was it was really cool to see him like that.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you my favorite story of Kelly Clark, and people have heard this before. Kelly invites us to go to the houseboat, and he's going to fly. So Rita's there, your mom, and I respect your mom, but she can breathe fire. Oh, she can breathe fire. And she was a perfect person for Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
Because if she breathed fire, this guy's so big with tennis racket hands, you wouldn't mess with either one of them. So we fly, and he's got this little GPS that can't cost more than $30 on the steering wheel of the airplane. Now, he's ignoring all the other stuff, but he's flying with this. So we land. He has a car. We drive out to the houseboat, and your mother gives us the tour. And she says to me, it's really important that you understand that you must sit when you go number one, because the boat kind of rocks and all that kind of stuff. And she says, really and truly, I'm serious. You got to sit when you're doing number one. And I said, okay. Now, Kelly's in the background rolling his eyes, so I don't really know if she's messing with me or if she's not. So the next morning, I decide to test. She's up first. I'm up second. So I go into the bathroom, which is right around the corner of the galley, and I get a big glass of water, and I open up the toilet seat, and I'm holding it up about 4 feet, and I start pouring it in the glass. Your mother was in that bathroom by the snap of fingers.
And she didn't care if you were in mid...
midstream.
If you were in midstream
or not. She was going to come in and stop you.
And she walked in, and you can tell she's ready to just throw me overboard, and I'm just smiling at her, pouring this water in there. And she called me a bad name, maybe one or two bad names.
Her favorite word, and I'm going to say it on air, and maybe they're going to bleep us, because it's not – the way she says it, it's not really a cuss word.
Okay.
It's got some letters added to it, because it's shit.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay, so
– a lot of T's.
With a lot of E's and a lot of T's.
Yeah.
And when she says that, you better
perk
up, because it's time to listen.
Well, so she's yelling so loud that Kelly wakes up, and he walks around the corner, and he starts laughing, which she turns and shuts his butt up real quick.
Oh.
And so at that particular point, I had had my fun with her. I mean, and her and I just got along just fine, but she said, you're kind of ornery. And I said, yeah, I've been called that before. And she says, okay, your orneriness is over at this point. I says, I get the message.
So you got the you can't pee standing up talk, but did you get the nest?
Oh.
The nest. Okay, let's hear this.
Okay, so
the nest is
on the houseboats, you know, because the houseboat toilets are like motorhome toilets, and they have the little flapper thing, you know. And she wasn't about to clean up anybody else's racing stripes, so to speak. And everybody that came on the boat, they got to talk about sitting down to pee, and then they got to talk about the nest. If you were going to go number two, you had to take the toilet paper and make a crisscross nest, in the bottom of the toilet before you poop, because if you left stripes, you were going to get handed the toilet cleaner and you were going to clean your own mess up.
You know, I don't know how long ago that was, but you're exactly right. She gave me the nest thing.
Yeah.
And my wife is going, you need to mind her. And I says, I'm going to mess with her every chance I get. And Kelly says, just do it once or twice and that's it. Otherwise,
see how it goes for you.
So anyway, it was a wonderful one. And he, like you said, he can fly an airplane. He could fly an airplane through a hole in a Cheerio, you know? And when he landed, it wasn't a panic landing. You hardly knew he touched the runway.
Oh.
And he let me sit up front. Rita was sitting in the back, and Renee was in the back too as well. But she never, and she was crossways from him. I expected at any given time she'd slap him up beside the head. But I think for safety reasons, she knew better than that.
No, she, you know, and that's the thing. She knew how good of a pilot he was, and I know she felt 100% comfortable with him in his plane, and she knew that that was the time to let him do his thing.
Yeah.
You know? But before you took off and once you landed, right back to.
And I said, what happens if something goes wrong? And he says, well, you're just going to have to fly the plane. I says, I've never flown a plane in my life. He says, don't worry about it. Reed will tell you how to do it. And I'm thinking to myself, he's 6'3". He weighs 200 plus. And he wasn't heavy. I mean, he was built. And I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to get him out of that chair? And I'm going to go over there, not understanding that there was a steering wheel on my side or whatever the heck you call it. Alrighty, 602-508-0960. We're talking about Kelly Clark, and the reason why we're talking about Kelly Clark is because he was an icon in the auto repair industry, and he dates way back to the 50s or that. And Kelly is a friend of all of us older guys, because he's kind of first generation of car repair. The rest of us that are in our mid-50s and 60s, we're just kind of the second generation, and most of us worked for Kelly or guys like Kelly. Most of us got our starts in the gas station arena when we used to have to check the oil, check the tires, and all that other kind of stuff. So they were the ones that really got you and me and Tom all set up. 602-508-0960. Oh, hang on a minute, Gil. We'll get you situated. And we got to go to pause. And now Mark is doing a good job. 1805. And, hey, Gil, have you got us? Okay. It was my fault. I had muted everybody's microphone because these guys were using bad words. And as a result of that, I had to be quiet and be careful. Let's talk real quick. Let's talk to Chris first. Let's do Chris first. Chris, good morning to you.
Hey, guys. Sorry to hear the passing of Mr. Clark. Sounds like he was a good friend of all yours.
Yeah, he was.
Yes, I had I have an 05 Murano and my airbag light's flashing. Where can I go to get that looked at?
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question. How many miles are on it?
90,000.
Okay. You want to raise your hands, either one? Let me put it to you this way. Most of the time when the airbags lights is on, the repair is?
Could be the seat module.
Okay.
Could be the button on the dash.
Okay.
It
Greg?
Could be the sensor
well,
in the front.
Has the car ever been in a collision? Did you buy the car new? Did you
No.
buy the car used?
No, I've had it. It's in nice shape. And it just started flashing a couple of days ago.
Okay. I would think we do a lot of clock springs.
Yeah.
And that's why I asked him about the miles, is because at 90,000, the clock spring is this circular, you know how when you wind up your hose flat and you go around and around and around till the circle's bigger?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's what a clock spring is. We have to maintain communication with the airbag. And the steering wheel, because it moves and the rest of the harness doesn't, this clock spring allows you to turn all the way right and all the way left. And so because of the mileage and probably how much of it is city driving?
Majority of it.
Okay. So you're turning the steering wheel left and right and all that kind of stuff. So this isn't a difficult diagnosis. This is really just take a look at it, run a scanner, stuff like that.
Probably one of the simplest diagnoses.
Okay.
Okay, they are able to scan that. Is that an expensive thing?
Well, you're going to go in
the clock spring.
I don't know. The diagnosis, guys, less than 100.
Usually, it depends. I mean, I know I offer, and there's a lot of people do it. I'll take my scanner and I'll go read your code, and I won't charge you for that. Now, okay. Once we read the code, then we're going to talk about whether it's something real quick and easy or whether we've got to spend some time diagnosing it. So
okay. You
can call around and get that information from different shops.
And then you get an estimate.
Right.
And the diagnosis, I'm always of the opinion that when I say 100 or when I think 100, I go 75 to 125. So I'm just kind of bracketing I've done. The thing you have to say is when they give you your estimate, you have to look them in the eye, my shop included, and you have to say, are you guessing or are you fixing? And if you're guessing, then what are we going to do if you miss? So keep my old airbag or keep my old clock spring. Of course, when you take it apart, you're going to see the clock spring is usually broken. But you just make sure that they say that, you say that to them. Because I don't want to pay for guessing. I want to pay for fixing. And so that's really how it works. As far as the clock spring is concerned, we're going to have to pull the steering wheel out of it. I don't know how much the clock spring is, but I'm guessing you're going to be at 175, 200, something like that, or maybe even more. The steering wheel, what is the steering wheel pay?
350 by the time you're done is probably going to be a good...
Okay. Diagnostic first, and then the labor to fix the part plus the part.
Right.
So if you're going with 350, close enough, Greg?
That's close enough.
Okay. All righty, Chris. Thank you very much for
bringing that. Okay, your guesstimate is about, let's just say, 400 to fix it, if it's the clock spring and it's not a guesstimate.
I'm thinking 300 to 400. I think we can cover most everybody at 300 to 400.
Yeah. Okay, and, very good. Thank you for your help.
All right, you betcha. And, I had an airbag case the other day where somebody, and folks will understand this, and you guys will too. This guy takes the steering column completely out of a Chrysler product, okay? And he sets it off to the side. He has to replace the air distribution center, which is in the dash. The front seats are gone. The center console's gone. You've been there. This is a $2,000 labor.
Yeah.
So he loses control of the center of the steering wheel. So you can imagine if you got the column out of it, then somebody spins it like a fan, okay?
Uh-huh.
So he loses control.
Mm.
So the car is a rental car. The dealership's fixing it. And this doesn't happen very often, but it was interesting. So the lady brings her car in, and they give her this rental. So she pulls into a parking spot. She backs up and parks. Everything's fine. So when she leaves, she pulls forward, turns the steering wheel all the way to the right, and it blows the airbag. You can imagine that's kind of scary. So the first thing everybody goes, you hit something. So an inspection of underneath the car says, no, I didn't hit anything. Then they look at the black box, and the black box has no data. So the black box wasn't even involved. So then there's this big investigation about what happened, and there's all these experts that are saying this is what happened and that's what happened. But you got Chrysler, and you got the dealership on one side, and you got this little old lady who got popped in a bag and hard. So at the end of the day, everybody finally circles the wagons, and everybody agrees that he lost control of the steering wheel. So now it's just a matter of what the money's going to be. But it was interesting on how long this went.
Oh, to get to that point.
To get to that point. And he said, no, I didn't lose control of the steering wheel. Yes, you did. So we got two squibs, and I did the wiring diagram. You got to have power and ground to pop that bag. And the squib has the power and ground right in it. So the tape, the center of clock spring, has ground and power right next to it. So that's what blew the bag. But anyway, it was one of those interesting things. When we come back, we're going to talk more about Kelly Clark. Like I said before, he's one of the pioneers of car repair in the Phoenix Valley area. He really has a lot to do with me and you, Tom, with respect to guidance when we got into the business. I don't know about you, but I had like three whiskers. And so I wasn't really adapt. And I met him during the time we all belonged to the group, which I'm not going to mention.
I had no whiskers.
You had no whiskers? That was long ago.
I mean, what a guy. Let's talk more about him.
Okay, well, and that's true, too. Your wife had most of the whiskers. We're just going to leave it at that. We'll be right back.
Easy there.
Welcome back, everybody. Have you got us? Oh, yep. I see the meter moving, so I have to mute everything because these guys and Greg's wife use bad words in the background, so I can't take the chance of transferring stuff out.
It's because they have Tourette's.
Oh, I got you. That's it. Tom Blackwell from Blackwell Automotive, 40th and Greenway, just made that comment. If you like to square him away, give him a call on Monday morning and leave Greg and I alone. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Kurtz Auto Repair. He's up at I-17 in Bell, northeast corner. He's been around a long time. I've known Kurtz for probably 20 years. Kurtz was one of the older guys. And his facility burnt down, and then it took him a while to get back up on his feet. But he's done a great job. He has Eric and Jeff there. Those two young whippersnappers, they are really good at what they do. And they're in constant competition with us gray-haired guys trying to figure out if they're better than we are.
Yeah.
So I told him the same thing. Yeah. So, all righty, Jesse, how are you today?
Hey, Mark, how are you? This is Jesse from Kelly Clark on 12th Street, Glendale.
Yep. Now, I want to ask you a couple questions to set the kind of the stage here. When did you first start working for Kelly Clark?
Wow. I started working for Kelly Clark in 1988. I was 17 years old, just fresh out of high school.
Okay. Now, what location were you at?
At the 12th Street and Glendale location.
Okay. Which is where you're at right now?
Currently. Yes.
Okay, well, still.
31 years.
Okay. So you worked at the gas station. Were you a pump jockey?
No, it was the actual shop, the garage there. Okay. In 1988. He was full-fledged, you know, going strong.
Okay.
1988, 8-bay shop. So it was, I was their mop boy, their shuttle driver, just starting from the ground up.
And I think all of us have done the same thing, right? We all started out. And now I think we call them light-duty techs. But
light,
the mop,
general service.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, GS,
shop,
okay.
Yeah, we call them shop stewards. Yeah, GS, shop stewards. Yeah, that's
okay. So then you worked for Kelly how many years before Kelly retired, so to speak?
In 1998 is when I took over and being the manager there. So,
okay.
But then that's when he opened up the Bell Road store. He was really never fully retired. We're not ever allowed to say that he was retired because he was never really fully retired. He was just a hardworking man. He was always there.
Okay. So do you have – all right. And so now you've taken over the 12th Street in Glendale, right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. And you've been there since you were 17.
Correct.
Okay. So I would venture a guess that he treated you like a son, which means he yelled at you every once in a while, and he also slapped you on the back. Is there any truth to that?
Exactly, yes. It's all true.
All right.
Jesse has some stories I can tell you about. me and Jesse, it's funny because if I'm going to call, me and Jesse converse back and forth from time to time, and I know if I'm going to call Jesse
go ahead.
I gotta prepare for a 30 or 45 minute long phone call because we always have
stories together.
Okay. Yeah.
All righty. So so Jesse, you've been there a long time, and so do you have a favorite story or five about Kelly?
I have several, and I think my most favorite one is the day Kelly and I met. You know, so I was going to school. Going to automotive school, and I was working at the YMCA. I was their maintenance guy, and Kelly would play racquetball there, you know, every morning. And he would be, you know, right away, he'd be at the front counter and say, I need that court number 2 swept and mopped right now. We're getting ready to play this important game, racquetball game. So they'd send me in there, you know, and they'd sweep, you know, I'd sweep real quick, and you know, I'd kind of give him a dirty look, because I'm like, who is this guy, you know? Nobody else asked to sweep the floor or sweep the court, you know, and so I kind of got to know him that way, and then one day he says, "What are you going to school?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm going to automotive school." And he says, "Oh, well, today's your lucky day." And he hands me his business card, and it says Kelly Clark Automotive. He says, "You ever wanting a job in automotive? Come and see me. Come talk to my manager, Clint." And I said, okay, yeah, I think I'll do that. So a few weeks later, I went in there, talked to Clint. They hired me on, and Kelly right away recognized me. That was the kid from the YMCA. And then Kelly says, get into my pickup truck. He had an orange little standard cab Chevy truck with a Corvette LS.
Yeah, had a 400 small block, and there's a story about that truck.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was just probably the fastest car I'd ever been in my 17 years. And he says, "Get in. I'm going to show you where to pick up parts. You know, courtesy all the dealerships. You know, he's kind of showing me around town." And I was on cloud nine. You know, because here I am, in the one of the fastest trucks I've ever been in. You know, and sure enough, and he could tell I had a grin. You know, I was pretty impressed, and he's just roaring around each corner. And he would say, "Hang on, hold on," and then he would go by like shops that he would say, "Yeah, this guy, he's doing this, and he's, you know, runs a good business." And he'd say, "Hold on," and he just lay some rubber down in front of their shops. You know, but that's one of my funny stories my favorite stories about him.
You're right, and it's an honor. When Kelly went to him and gave him his business card, we've done that before.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's an honor because we recognize the value of that employee. And if you have to hire him away from Walmart or Dunkin' Donuts or something like that,
exactly.
You're hoping you will. Because every time you walk in, this kid's working. And nobody's yelling at him.
Right.
And he's not sitting around outside smoking cigarettes or something. So that's an honor, Jesse. I think you probably know that.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's been an honor ever since.
Have Jesse, if we're going to tell a story, so once all everything transpired and my dad kind of, he's basically turned over the shop to Jesse.
Okay.
So now it's Jesse's business,
right?
Even though it still says Kelly Clark, and Jesse's now a businessman, and he's going through all the bills and stuff. And Jesse, tell a story about the phone bill.
If you can, without any bad language.
You may not want to use his exact language, but it's a great story.
Okay, go, Jesse.
Which one, though?
When you found out there was a bunch of extra lines coming in the building that that were being paid for that weren't being used.
So I'm like, "What, Kelly?" I'm like, "What is all this?" You know, I mean, we used, you know, six lines for the business, but there's you know, three or four other lines. I can't really remember that one, Greg.
Because Jesse called me. That was another one of our 45-minute long phone calls, and we both laughed so hard. It was totally my dad. So, you know, Jesse's busting his butt. Now he's a businessman. He's watching all the bills and all this stuff, and he finds these lines that have been coming in the building that my dad has been paying for all these years, and they were nothing, right? They weren't.
But the other ones appeared on the phone.
Right.
There were three lines coming in, but these
were like, you know, from the old days, from old computer lines and credit card machine lines and all that kind of stuff. So Jesse sits him down, and Jesse's proud, you know, "Kelly, look what I found. I saved myself quite a bit of money here just on the phone bill alone because, you know, I found these lines." And my dad grabbed the paper, and he looked at it, and he looks at Jesse, and he says, expletive, "Jesse, you mean to tell me all these years I've been paying for these phone lines and you haven't found this?" So it just blew Jesse's bubble right there. Jesse's, yeah.
I only took over the business 30 days ago, Mr. Clark.
Yeah.
I've only seen one of these phone bills. Now, my bet is, too, that I don't know if he was kidding or not, but it seems to me that he got really hot and really cold quickly.
Well, my dad was...
Depends on the fight.
Yeah. If you had a chewing coming, you got a chewing, and when the chewing was done, you were done. That was, you know, there was no lingering, you know, dirty looks or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You got chewed, and you got chewed hard, and when the chewing was done, it was done, which, you know, over the years, it took me a little while to kind of catch on to that and figure it out, because I'd get all, you know, butt hurt and... Mm-hmm. And, you know, dad just chewed me out. But you come to figure it out that, you know, you got what you got, and you were done. Now we move on. Don't do it again, basically.
Well, the older we get, though, we forget why we chewed your tail end. You know what I mean? So somebody will walk around on eggshells, and Andy, my daughter, will say, you know, "He's just been afraid of you since, you know, you talked to him about laying rubber with your car." And I go, "Honey, that was a year ago."
Yeah.
And she says, "You never made up with him."
Yeah.
Now, let me talk about Jesse real quick. Jesse's been in charge and running. He answers to nobody at the 12th Street and Glendale store. Jesse's been on our best car repair shops list I don't know how many years, Jesse. And I'm going to tell folks the truth, and the truth is we've never had a complaint against him. Never. I've never heard a complaint against him. I don't know. I check his record every once in a while, and he hasn't had any complaints. So, Jesse, I want to tell you that I noticed, okay? I've noticed that whatever you've done well. And I know Kelly was always really proud of you, too. Kelly used to talk good about you. He used to tell everybody that he hired you when you were a teenager. He talked about you in a real positive fashion. He was very proud of you.
Oh yeah.
So,
sure. We had that conversation yesterday on the phone that, you know, my dad, the opportunity that he gave Jesse, and Jesse's just doing a phenomenal job with the opportunity, wasn't going to be given to anybody else.
Right.
It had been set in my dad's mind that this is how it was going to go, and when he was sitting down figuring out all those deals, there was never any question as to who this was going to be offered to.
Yeah.
And Jesse's just taken it and run with it and done just absolutely wonderful.
He started there when he was 17. I was at Gas Pump Jockey in 1970, and I worked for a guy that was a tyrant, but him and I were from the same town, Douglas.
Oh.
So he knew my brothers, and I worked the 3 to 11 shift and 6 days a week. And I used to get out of I got out of high school early just to go there. But he taught me a lot. He taught me a lot of good, and he taught me a lot of bad.
Well, and you know, the same goes for Tom, because the whole deal with that 40th Street and Greenway store, it's a story you probably don't know. But as a teenager, I was, you know, we did the whole racing thing, and I won championships and all that stuff. And of course, that wouldn't have happened without my dad. But I also was, you know, a little problematic, let's say.
Henry.
Yeah.
And in a bad way.
So, believe it or not, the initial deal with the 40th Street and Greenway store was I was going to go in there and run that store. But I had kind of...
Now, I see your face getting red, but go ahead.
But I had not been doing so good at the point, and he got kind of fed up. But once Tom came along, same deal there, is my dad, once he spoke to you and... He went to your business when you were over there on 32nd, and saw the business and how it was run. That was the decision. Tom was getting the store, and that's what my dad did. He would, his judgment of people was beyond amazing. I mean, I don't have it, but he did. So Tom got handpicked for that store. Jesse, of course, got handpicked for the 12th Street store.
And you became a nurse's aide at a restaurant or at a rest home.
Well, yeah, for, okay. for a short period
All
of
right,
time.
We're going to leave it there because we're going to come back, but I got to take a break. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. I think the three of us know, I mean, you guys know Kelly better than I do, but I always respected him because he was very knowledgeable, and he didn't shove the information down your throat. As we had a conversation, he would ask questions, and he'd say, well, what do you do about this, or how are you handling your credit card fees and stuff like that? So, but it was a lot of business. When we come back, we're going to talk about your mother and ski racing and fast boats and all that kind of stuff. Because for you telling me that your mother ski raced, these boats are doing north of 70 to 100 miles an hour?
With a skier behind them, they're 70 to 90. Okay. And then they would, at the end of the day, they'd have the hot boat race, and then they're running 110 mile an hour.
Okay. So your mom's on a slalom running 70, 80 miles an hour, and her husband's driving the boat.
Yep.
That is a pair to draw to, no matter how you do this. That's a pair to draw to. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And I'm going to guess that there was three signals your wife or your mother gave Kelly, your dad. It was thumbs up, thumbs down, and then probably a middle finger somewhere along the line. And I'm just guessing, but I think I'm going to be right. 602-508-0960. Greg Clark, Tom Blackwell, and Mark Salem will be back.
Now, once again, here's Mark.
Welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, sitting next to me is Greg Clark. And your shop is at?
19th Avenue in Bethany Home.
And the name of it is?
Greg Clark Automotive Specialist.
Okay, fair enough. Tom Blackwell sitting next to me. We did check him out of jail. He's at 40th and Greenway. And we've known one another for a very long time. And people say that we're cut from the same cloth. And I'm not quite sure I like that analogy.
It's brothers from different mothers sharing the same brain.
I've heard that before.
And it's amazing. It's an honor.
Watch out.
It's an honor.
Automatic Transmission Exchange has been around since Fred Flintstone. Phil worked on Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble's cars, the ones with the tires that were stone.
Yeah, right, stone tires.
Yeah, stone tires. But transmission repairs and replacements, and repairs is more important than replacement. You'll get somebody to drive your car. You'll get somebody to understand what's the symptom, especially if you can make it happen. That's what's important. So if you have a transmission need or want, Automatic Transmission Exchange, 40th Street in Washington, been there a very, very long time, and Phil's a very, very good guy. Let's go to the phones. We took care of Jesse. Tom, what can I do for you today, Tom?
Hi, Mark. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
I've got a 2017 Accord, just turned about 90,000. I need to change the coolant. It's got the Honda Blue. What's a good straight across for that? What should I put in it? Coolant.
Well, I'd go down to the local dairy farm. And
it's called the blue milk, right?
Yeah, the blue milk.
The blue, right.
We're making fun of it because all these idiots have their own coolant. There's all kinds of universal coolants. So, and amber is typically the one we use. Do you use any universal, Tom?
We use a lot of universals.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever the grades are.
And because I believe Honda's a great car. So I keep the blue in stock, and we use the blue on the Hondas.
Okay.
I mean, if you're doing it yourself and you're not able to really clean it all out, you can still go with the universal. It's going to work. What is the difference? The exact difference? I can't even remember the difference in blue and universal. It's not a ton.
Well, they both dip blue
and hote. That's what the difference is. Oat and hote. One of them's a hote. One of them's an oat. But the universals. I got to spend some time with the Chevron engineers who build coolant, and after 15 minutes, these guys knew more about coolant and colors. So why do we have the colors? To identify which car it goes into.
Basically. Yeah.
Basically. And so you got orange, pink, mm-hmm. green, blue,
red
Chrysler,
and Toyotas.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So you got all these different colors and flavors. So to answer your question, Tom, I would just ask them to specifically write down what kind of coolant, and you can call them in advance, say, what kind of coolant do you use? Get on the internet, and you can find out how universal it is. There are a lot. Dex is another one.
Dex Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them out there that are the bottom 10%, and they're all green. So and
vintage green.
Vintage green,
yes.
But there's so many of them above, and what's drilled into my head is that the amber kind of notates that it's a universal. Mm-hmm. And so I know we pour a lot of universal, but Tom, at 90,000 miles, your 17 Accord probably does need it. Under the best of conditions, you're going to have somebody use some kind of a cheap at flush machine, because you don't need something that costs $4,000, and he's going to put a 50-50 mix back in there, and under the best conditions, you'll be set for another 90 or 100,000 miles. Agreed?
Agreed.
Okay, let's go to John. John, you're up next. How can we help you?
Hey, Mark. I've been listening for a long time, and I appreciate all your advice over the years, but I've got a question. I've got a 2011 Chevy Suburban that I bought new. It's a two-wheel drive LS model.
Okay.
And what happened was I made a right turn, and it felt like the transmission slipped a little bit, and the warning lights came on, and I thought it said service transmission. So I went to what you just kind of did a commercial for, Automatic Transmission Exchange. I spoke to Corey. They serviced the transmission, checked everything out. They said they couldn't find anything wrong with the transmission, but it needed to be serviced as a trailer towing package. So that was serviced, and I'm glad I got it done. They were super nice and everything. When I got it back, I'm driving it, and it did it again. My wife made a left turn. The lights flickered. It sputtered a little bit, and then it stopped. Now, and then it was running just fine. It didn't stop. It just ran fine after that. Last weekend, as I started the car and started to drive, all the lights flickered. Many different signals came up, you know, service this, service that, and then it was fine. So.
Okay. There's no way that any of us can guide you. I think what you should do is learn how to make it happen and be able to demonstrate it to your shop. So you have to figure out what kind of environment are we in that makes this happen. You got your choice. You can chase one light or the other. And it could very well be he noticed he's turning right, and then he has other lights.
But he said, but the wife, he did say right the first time.
And
but
then the wife
said
was turning
left.
Right.
Okay. So he's tight. His steering wheel's tight. And of course, when you turn right or left, the stability is going to see all the tires turn in different radiuses. So is ABS. So if you've got one wheel sensor that's bad, you're going to have those kinds of problems. The stability control, we had one the other day that we fixed an engine miss with a wheel, or with a wheel sensor.
Well, my question would be, are all the tires the same? Have you had any change recently? Do you have a spare on for some reason that you haven't changed back? We're looking for all the tires to be the same diameter.
That's really important. We had a car the other day that we thought that the transmission, it's an all-wheel drive, was going in and out of two-wheel drive. So we put a motor on it, and it still had it. So then the guy in the conversation, he says, oh, I only buy two new tires at a time. So I put the new ones on the front and put the old ones on the back. Holy mackerel, we looked at the circumference. Wide difference.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we said, okay, you go get new tires and make sure they're all the same, and then drive it for a while. And then when you're sure that they're fixed, come on back. I'm going to put your motor in. And that's what we did. Mm-hmm. We put the motor, his old motor, but we had given it to him, so he didn't throw it away. And it was a tire circumference issue. So all-wheel drives have to have those tires the same.
Yeah, it's you know how Mark tells you to be able to get that to act up. That's hugely important.
Extremely important.
You know, all of us have people come in every day that we know they have a problem because nobody wants to walk through our doors that doesn't have a problem, and we can't, you know, we can't reenact that problem. And the thing is, if you can get it to act up and, you know, it's a shop that'll take time to go on a good test drive with you and maybe even hook the scanner up on that test drive, there's a lot better chance of figuring it out or getting close to figuring it out without spending a ton of money, you know, diagnosing and all that. But I think Mark is on the right track.
Yeah, don't get mad at your repair shop, and I'll tell you why. I don't know how many times over the years, I know Mark's had it, I know Greg's had it. You've got a customer that's calling you on the telephone. They're out in front of the shop. It's happening right this minute. I'm going to come in. We jump in the car, go for it. It doesn't do it.
That happens all the time.
All the time.
The folks need to understand that we share the magic wand, and so you only get it once a week or once a couple of days a week in a great while. But I was going to say to him until he got the other lights. I was going to say to him, I want you to shift to low and start manually shifting it to see if it's a transmission problem. Let's see. And after the light goes out, pull into the back of Bash's or Safeway and just turn right and circle to yourself five or six times. Did the light come on? Same way, left side. Makes a difference. When you come out of a driveway, everybody turns hard right or hard left to stay into the curb lane. Does it only happen there? All right, so here's the question. On the average, how much do they save in diagnostic time? How much do they save in checkout time if they can make it happen when you're sitting next to them?
A bunch.
Yeah.
Okay. What's a bunch?
I would say they cut it in half.
And I'm with you. I'm with you. If it was 100, it'd be 50. Right. And if it was 75, it'd be half of that, and I'm not good in math. So, hold on just a minute. Do you know what half of 75 is?
It'd be 30. What would it be?
37 and a half.
37 and a half. Okay. That's Kennan, who works hand in hand with her husband, Greg. Real quick, you guys, who's the boss over there again?
I am.
Okay. She's just like your mother. I like a woman who, I'll tell you the story later.
Nevertheless. You became very submissive. I saw this. We're in the city. I'm looking at both of them. And Greg just put his head down. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. That was it. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
I've learned not to argue.
Oh, that's a waste of time. You know, that's all right. So I'm going to tell you a quick story. We have a septic system up at the ranch. And the septic system has these two vacuum containers in a box. And it's where the vacuum breaks when the pump turns off. So I had taken the cover off, and I had determined that these vacuum valves aren't working real well, which is a floating ball. Okay, the pressure pushes the ball up, and then when the system drops the pressure, the ball goes down. So I go make this contraption to screw onto one of them, and I got both of them off. And so I got a 1-inch line going over to the trash can, and I've got this thing tied up and all this kind of stuff. And Renee's over there, and I said, okay, honey, flip the thing on. Well, I got one that's putting brown water in the tank, but the other one's wide open. So next thing I know, it's raining brown water.
Is this like RV and Robin Williams?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
okay.
Absolutely. So I immediately get the hose, and I'm squirting myself off, and she walks over to the hose and turns the spigot off. Now, the hose is 200 feet out to the septic system. So I didn't talk to her all the way home, or all the way here today.
because she is just on my list of, and she got a big kick out of it. She got a big kick out of it. But that's the second time I've been neck deep in poo poo a lot in my life, but this is the first time it's literally
there.
Yeah. So anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. I want to tell you about Harker's Automotive, 38th Avenue in Indian School. Bob is in the shop and Ellen is at the front counter. Ellen's nobody to mess with. She's been around the block. And you're not going to walk in and bypass her, probably like your wife, Greg, where you're going to say, I want to talk to a guy, because that ain't going to fly. The women that have been in our businesses for a long time don't like that. And typically, they'll say, you can talk to my husband, oh, in a month and a half at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon. I mean, they're not going to be like that. But that's something you... But Bob and Ellen work really well together, and Bob's one of the best diagnosticians that I've ever met, and I'll tell you why. I've sent him a couple of cars where they couldn't duplicate the problem, and he spent enough time to duplicate the problem and then fix it. And I remember him taking a dashboard out of a Dodge truck and fixing something I've never heard before in my life. So he's really good. So 38th Avenue and Indian School, if you're on west side of town, and you've got this story that starts out with, I've had my car to three or four shops and nobody can figure this out, then you ought to stick at Harker's at 38th Avenue and Indian School. Greg Clark is sitting here. We are celebrating his father's demise. We're talking about how Kelly had such a broad impact on the car repair business and in each one of us. Obviously, Greg Kelly is the son of what's his name?
Greg Clark
is the son of Kelly. I'm messing this up.
You're getting it to get it together.
No, wait a minute. Tom, I need to look at you. Tom Blackwell, 40 String Greenway, bought his building from Kelly. And
Kelly bought the property.
Okay. And Kelly.
And plants, yeah.
And Kelly is an instrumental in my life because I sat on a couple of committees with Kelly, and he was quiet, but when he spoke, nobody else did. And he was very experienced, and he was not shy about saying, I don't like what you're doing, or I don't like what you're saying. I mean, I think that he did that in a class all of his own. I think Tom and I probably suffer from the 180-degree thing. So we probably don't have the manners and the tact that Kelly had.
And me as
you
well.
Know, I'll tell you what. When he came in and said, you need to be doing this, he didn't say it just to hear himself talk. And he didn't say it to somebody that didn't care about. Yeah.
And Greg brought up a good point. He knew everybody in town. He knew the good guys from the bad guys.
Oh, yeah.
He knew the guys that were doing it right and the guys that were throwing parts at cars. And he held everybody to the same standard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So
and,
he wasn't your friend if he had this idea that...
Yeah. And I don't say that as anybody because he did that to me. You need to be doing this.
Yeah. He called me one day and said something. You said something on the radio and I don't agree with. Okay, well, tell me what it is. And I agreed with him. I said, are you sure I said that? And he goes, no, I'm sure. I'm sure. And I said, okay, well, I want to talk to Rita, his wife. And she says, no, you don't. She's madder at you than I am. Well, wait a minute. Okay, take a break. 602-508-0960. Hold your thought. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 5147, remember that, Blackwell, 51, somehow or another, I messed that up real good, 47, I forgot to tape that whole last segment, mm-hmm. But, hey, Gil, I need both hours now, okay, all righty, thank you very much, there's too many people here, and we're having too much fun, exactly what it's all about. Another good guy is Strictly Diesel Service and Repair, he's up on I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. Very much like your father, he's very tall, he has hands like tennis rackets, and when you shake his hand, that you feel like you're 6 years old. But he doesn't squeeze you and break your hand or anything, he's just a great guy. Nate is a great guy. He's exactly the kind of guy, unlike Blackwell and me, that you'd want your daughter to bring home. That's what kind of a guy Nate is. So anyway, I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road, he's been around a long time. He only works on domestic and foreign light diesels, so your semi's not going to work at his place. But the Ford, all the motors. The Dodge, all the motors. The GMC, they only got a 6.6. But the bottom line is he does a good job. Plus, on his website, he sells all kinds of parts that you might want to look at before you go buy the magic potion to go in the gas tank that's going to make your diesel stand on its rear wheels. So that's Strictly Diesel Auto and Repair, I-17 in Deer Valley. Let's go to the phones real quick. David, good morning to you. How can we help you?
Hey, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Yes, I have a question. I have two Chevrolet vehicles, 2016 Malibu and a 2018 Trax. Okay. Both have the cabin air filters. Okay. I just changed the one in the 16. Are those just kind of bug, leaf, and dirt collectors, or does those filters have a purpose in how the air conditioning system operates?
Well, they have everything to do with how an air conditioning system operates, Tom.
You'll draw that same material up that's going through that filter into the evaporator, number one. But I just think to myself, just think about having all the bugs and dust right underneath your nose.
Well, not only, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you on that. But how about take the filter out of your house?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because we're filtering the intake air now.
Right, going through the evaporator.
But, see, you're using the evaporator, but they don't know what an evaporator is. It's a radiator. It's a radiator looking
okay.
at ice.
Yeah. Okay.
A Freon radiator.
Right. And so when you're sucking air through the evaporator, it turns hot air to cold. But you can't suck leaves. And how many times have we taken the evaporator case apart, and there is a mat of dog hair an inch thick, and they're complaining that they don't have cold air.
They don't have volume. Yeah.
Yeah.
And condensation on the evaporator, dust turns to mud.
Yep. Now, let me ask you a question, David. You had the new one, mm-hmm. right? Yeah? You had the
yep.
new one. All right. So compare the old one on a 1 to 10 scale with 10, it being a hazard, what do you call it?
Hazardous waste.
Hazardous
product.
Waste, or was it a 5 or was it a 2? What was it?
Probably in the 2 years, it was probably about an 8.
Okay,
it was, and even the Trax that I have, I just checked that one, and it's probably about a 5 already.
Okay,
yeah. So
sometimes you can take them and turn them upside down and drop them down.
Right, and as that, you know, the one at a 5, the one at the 8, you saw the difference there. But as they go from, you know, 0 to 5 or 0 to 8, whatever you want to call it, they're restricting airflow to you. So these days, with the different freons and the fact that we can't get them quite as cool as we used to, you know, back in the old days with the old, you know, I'm going to date myself here, R12.
Yeah.
It's important that you have that volume coming to you because it's not as cool of air as what it used to be, and you need that volume to keep the interior of the car cool.
The evaporator, which is the cold thing, the condenser is in front of the radiator. If you take duct tape and cover the condenser, it ain't going to work. If you take duct tape and cover the evaporator, it ain't going to work.
Right.
Well, that's exactly. Now, I'm going to ask you guys, what number is the worst filter you've yanked out of a car with a 1 to 10 bracket?
Well, I've pulled them out to where they're so dirty they've folded up and air's going by them. So the customer didn't necessarily feel the volume issue I was talking about. But now, of course, all that crud and dirt got to the evaporator that we're talking about. So, yeah, I've seen them from that. And then I have customers that come in that they want it done, you know.
No matter what.
Because nowadays we're doing 5,000-mile oil changes. They want them done every oil change.
And that's something that they're – I guess the question at that point is –
I need a higher number.
Okay. All right. I was waiting for that.
I need a higher number.
The issue is they picture that, okay, this is a radiator and it's got all this dog hair and crap on it. We're just going to take a vacuum and vacuum it. That ain't the case. That's not what's going to happen. So the idea is, yes, you should just – if you know how to take them out, you're halfway there. So buy an extra one next time you do it. Put it in the back of the car. Put it someplace safe, and you take them out. Now you have something to compare to, the old one and the new one.
Right, and do be careful with the aftermarket ones. The aftermarket ones will filter fine, but they tend to not have the good kind of frame around them. And just make sure when you put it in, you slide it in that little slot that it's staying conformed, because if you push too hard and you kind of fold the pleats a little bit, once they're folded, then when the air starts to move back through there, it'll fold that pleat again and let dirt by.
Yeah, and you want a higher number than 1 to 10. So give me the worst one that you put your hazard waste gloves on and you put a mask on and you carry it out to the dumpster.
Think of the biggest pile of dog hair on the floor of a place that does your, you know, cuts hair, the animal beauty salon.
The groomer, dog groomer.
It was so thick that we couldn't pull the filter out of the case, and it ended up tearing the side of it off. So we had to get up in there and pull the filter out piece by piece by piece.
Yeah.
And then that pulled the rest of the dog hair out of it. Okay. There had to have been 3-4 inches of dog hair on
What's the worst thing you found in there?
Oh, that...
gum wrappers.
Gum wrappers, Jack-in-the-Box, taco racks. We found a pair of underwear.
Sock. We had a sock on one time.
I wasn't going to talk about it. Yeah, well, we found
there's
a pair
of underwear.
The question is what the heck was that?
Were they paper? But were they paper underwear?
You know, and we're not going to talk to you about this anymore. I do want to tell you.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to move on from there.
Maybe they were edible.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if it came down.
I don't know
top
if he wants
plans.
To really come
We're not
clean
going
on
there.
That one.
Just shut up, you guys. And I agree with you on a lot of the aftermarket ones, but I do know that the Chevy, Ford, and Dodge, and Chrysler's are made by other companies.
Right.
So I think it's a matter of
oil
price.
Filters and
one last thing. I have a 2012 Dodge truck, and my dogs are in it all the time, and it ain't like they're Chihuahuas that don't, you know. So I found out that with a little saw, they make a kit to put the filter in my truck. So I take the glove box out, give you a template, and you cut the mouth out, you slide the filter in, and they give you a little lid that goes on top of it. Now, for me, remember that dog hair, Matt, you talked about that was an inch thick? That's what mine looks like after a year.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's because the dogs are with me. Yeah. My wife doesn't shed. The dogs shed. I just wanted to make that perfectly clear. Anyway, 602-508-0960. Daniel, you stay right there. You're going to be our first caller on the other side of this break. All righty. We got Greg Clark from Greg Clark's Automotive Specialists. And he's been around a long time, but his father just recently passed, and that's the one we're paying homage to today because he was certainly a leader in the auto repair business. And then we got Tom Blackwell. He's not my best friend, but he's close to it. And he's at 40th Street and Greenway, and we'll be back right after this.
All about that demon automobile, the metal monster with the polyglass wheels, the end result of the dream of Henry Ford.
Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Greg Clark here, son of Kelly Clark, who just passed away. Tom Blackwell, who had a personal relationship with Kelly as well as I did. So we're just talking about how he was one of the pioneers. Let's go to Daniel, like I promised. Daniel, good morning to you.
Hey, I've got a 91 Grand Marquis. And when I'm going up a hill, the RPMs start going down, and the engine starts to clatter until the engine down gears.
Down shifts?
Down shifts. And then the RPMs start going up, and the clattering stops. What is that clattering?
What do you think, guys?
On a 91?
Yeah. On a 91,
Go.
91.
Either one of you.
On that, most likely, the engine is pinging, detonating. And the reason it may be detonating is those cars had the EGR valve. It's an EGR valve.
Yeah.
It's on the back side of the intake manifold, and it's got an EGR valve screen, if you will, and it's a cooler. And that screen gets plugged up with carbon and will not allow that exhaust gas to go in.
So if you want, take the EGR valve off. It isn't easy.
No,
take
it's
it off
not
and
easy.
Look at the screen yourself. Well, we're using the EGR, exhaust gas recirculation valve. Mm-hmm. We're going to run some exhaust back through the circle. And as a result of that, we're going to cool the chamber and add a little bit of fuel.
Yeah.
Now, it couldn't even be a knock sensor as well. Because
on
if it's... I don't know if
91?
It's got one. I don't know. I don't know. But here's the deal. If the knock sensor's good, how do you test that real quick? Okay. What I do is hook up a scanner. And hit the manifold where the knock sensor's at. Don't hit the knock sensors, but
hit the
manifold.
Okay. Yeah.
Hit the alternator bracket, and it'll pop up, and it'll tell you knock sensor. So
if it is the knock sensor, you always do the harness with it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. You're exactly right. It's the 3-whiskered kid at the auto parts store pulls the code, and whatever the code says, he sells you that. So if it says that you got a bank one pre or post O2
sensor,
then all of a sudden he's going to sell you 4 O2 sensors when all you have is a vacuum leak at the PCV valve hose. So it's that I tell people this, the code just tells you the code, but you have to find the state, the city, the street, and the street address to figure this out.
Do you know why the kid at the counter said that?
Yeah, he's selling parts.
Well, no, he went to YouTube University.
Oh, yeah, 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 you're right. The idea is let me ask you guys a question. Of all the O2 codes you've ever had, how many of them necessitated an O2 replacement? What percentage?
You know what? For me, the 3%. Only ones that necessitate a replacement are the O2 heater codes, which are newer model cars, obviously, but...
And that's a good point, because that's pretty specific.
Right.
I don't know that I'm, what'd you say?
3%?
Okay.
Maybe?
I'm gonna go higher than that. 30%, 25 to 30% necessitate an O2, but oftentimes it's the wrong code. So it's a post-CAT bank 2, and it's picked up the pre-CAT bank 1.
Okay. It may need an O2. Mm-hmm. In my case, because it was broken.
Okay.
We'll just call it broken.
All right.
It may have needed one the other 20% of the time, because maybe it was still working, but it was just lazy.
I agree with you.
I'm good with the 30%.
Or it may be running rich or lean.
Okay.
And it's going crazy because it's running rich or lean, and it sets a code, and you have to figure out why it's running rich or lean.
Yeah. All right, you two bucks. All right.
Bucks. Here we go.
All right. So, what number is the lean? What number is the lean? Low is lean.
I had a 50% chance.
No, yeah, you did. Low is lean. Uh-huh. Pretend it's 125 because it's a 5. So one is lean.
You're talking fuel trim number?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuel trim.
And well, the actual number from the O2 sensor is 0.1. So it's 1. Call it 1.
0.1
and 5 is rich as rich can be. So you go in and you plug in your scanner, okay, and it's running lean. We take carburetor spray, go all over the intake, and all of a sudden it stays at 1. Well, it's dead. I'm making it run rich,
right.
But it's dead.
Exactly.
Same way with a lean. You got a rich code, and you go, well, and you pull the vacuum hose off the brake booster,
uh-huh,
or take the PCV out of the line, and all of a sudden it goes lean. So you know it's alive,
uh-huh,
so you got a problem somewhere else. The best news is the three-whiskered kid at the auto repair has no, and he's using a code reader. A code reader is something akin to about a $7 piece of crap that's going to just make you buy parts until you're done. Right? They're going to just buy parts until you finally hit the nail on the head. So the diagnostic process in my shop is almost always half of what the guess is.
So we still have David? Is it David?
Yes.
David, have you taken it and got anything plugged into it? To see if you have any codes?
No, I took it in and... I took the mechanic for a ride, and I couldn't get it to do it.
Okay. This isn't a tough one. I mean, we could pull the EGR off and take a look at the screen like you talked about. We could also activate the EGR at idle, and if you activate the EGR, it'll change dramatically the idle.
It will die or it won't die or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, or go to a
but if
at
it's
least,
not
yeah.
acting or it doesn't have the signal to open, then you open up the EGR valve with our fingers, a gloved hand if
reach
it's really hot.
And push it up.
And don't tell them that. Don't tell them that. They're going to burn their fingers, and you're going to get sued, Tom Blackwell at 40th Street and Greenway.
Thank you for that great introduction to going to jail again.
Yeah. Yeah. The most important thing is the experience I have. You don't think that's been tucked in my ear before?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, baby. So anyway, 602-508-0960. This show is in honor of Kelly Clark, one of the premier guys that Phoenix Valley has, and he certainly was one of the first good guys that we had. We'll be back. Welcome back, everybody. I'll turn on everybody's microphone. Greg Clark from Greg Clark Automotive Specialist, which is exactly the name your father had.
Right, right.
But did he use his first name? Kelly?
Yeah,
yes, he did.
Kelly Clark Automotive Specialist.
Yep. Tom Blackwell from
Experience 40th. The difference.
Experience the... Oh, that's
that
right.
Was
that
the
was
tag
his tagline.
Driver, yeah.
You know what ours is? We can fix anything except the crack of dawn and a broken heart. I don't even know where I found that, but I thought that applies to car repair.
Tom, does that not fit perfectly?
When I said that to a customer the first time, I heard it come from you.
That's okay.
They looked at me and thought I was cussing at them or saying something bad.
Oh, okay.
And I said, it's not something bad.
Yeah.
That's just the truth.
The
fun truth.
You're welcome to use it.
Yeah.
I don't care. The idea is it does startle them. So they have to process it
exactly.
and go, well, I don't have a broken heart or the crack of dawn. And you know, I know, but I'm just telling you that we can just fix about everything.
Trying to lighten the mood.
Yeah, lighten the mood. All righty. I got to tell them about a couple of other good shops. We got Tom, another Tom, up at Action Auto. And I've known him since the early 1800s when he was selling, if you guys remember, John Rang had a scope called an Allen machine.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Don't say anything more. Well, Tom from Action Auto Repair was one of his demonstrators. Right. Now, Tom could make that machine dance. Unfortunately, no one else could. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so you had the Bear or the Allen. You picked one
Bear
of those
400.
Two. Yeah, Bear 400. So I had a couple of those, and I know you did too. Nevertheless, Tom at I-17 in Deer Valley, northwest corner, family-owned and operated auto repair shop. He's been in the repair shop since 1983. He's honest. He's a fisherman. He's honest. He knows right from wrong, and he's a world-class fisherman. But I'm never going to hang out with him again because he took me to Wisconsin to go snowmobiling. I thought we were just going to kind of meander through the forest and look for Bambi. No, we're on a lake doing 100 miles an hour, yep. And my biggest fear is if I lose their taillights, how am I going to ever get home? and it was just the most nerve-wracking thing. And I've ridden motorcycles and all that stuff, but when you're out there and these crazy guys are doing 100 miles an hour... I mean, I'm just hoping I don't lose their taillights.
What happened to the $7 GPS that Kelly gave you?
You know what?
To take it with you. Did it break in your wallet?
Rita
or what
took it back, and she said I'm not allowed to have one because I haven't been certified in GPS. All right, and then I'm going to tell you somebody else that's on the other side of the world, which is Auto Dynamics. Since 1982, Chuck has been there, Automotive Dynamics. He's been, and he opened the store, and now his son Derek is operating. So there's a second generation. And Chuck has been around, but not as long as your father. There's a couple of years difference between the two of them. So Chuck does a good job. Derek does a good job. And they're really the very best, in my opinion, of Sun City's largest and most trusted source for automotive services. So if you're looking for a great shop in Sun City, Mark Salem would like to recommend Automotive Dynamics, north side of Grand, just west of 99. 9th Avenue. Okay, Kenan, you're the wife and the better half of the other guy sitting next to me here, Greg Clark. Is there anything you want to tell us with respect to a story?
A story. Well, I didn't even know where to start.
When you first met him. What did you think of him when you first met him?
I was honestly a little scared.
Okay.
Yeah, to be honest.
He is kind of scary.
He was a little intimidating.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'll actually let him.
I'm not going to ask him anymore. I'll ask you the second question. The second question is: you work the front counter, all right? You sometimes.
No, I'm behind the desk in the office doing all the
paperwork and the money and stuff.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Do you ever hear? Are you ever at the front counter where they ask to talk to a guy?
Oh yeah, I have been several times, or over the phone.
And Andy, my daughter, has this on her business card with my permission, but she didn't tell me after she had a couple thousand. It says Andy Salem, CEO, full time babysitter of the men at Salem Boys, and the women go crazy over that.
That's a great idea.
So you could put CFO.
I might have to do that.
Yeah,
CFO. There used to be one in every shop.
Yeah, and you know, between Andy, my daughter, and my wife, they know. They could do this show and answer the questions. They've been around for a long time. I mean, Andy started. If you don't remember this, and I know you guys do, we started in the auto repair industry picking up cigarette butts on the parking lot. And the kids don't have to do that anymore because there's no cigarette butts.
And there's very few smokers now. Oh, my dad and cigarette butts. He would come pulling up in front of the shop at 19th Avenue in his yellow 72 Impala Custom soft top 454.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd come in with a couple of butts in his hand. You got butts out there in the parking lot. I'm like, Dad, I'm kind of busy. You know, got cars everywhere. We're working up. But I get the guy out there to clean up the butts. He says, no, where is he? He needs to be out there right now.
Right now.
And when I was pushing the broom, if I missed a butt.
Yeah. And did you have the little dustpan with a little bitty broom on it, and you'd sweep it into the dustpan?
Oh, yeah.
I did the same thing. I did the same thing for Ken Vivian and Chuck Nide. I did the same thing. That's how you kind of got into the auto repair.
Chuck Nide. I was trying to think of his name the other day from Sun City RV.
Yeah, Chuck Nide. Yeah. And he was one of those guys that, you remember, back in the old days, gas station guys didn't put up with the abuse we put up. If you got verbal with them, they were ready. They, all of the ones we know, including your dad, and including anybody in your past, and Ken Vivian for me, they didn't put up with the stuff that we allow people to take. Not that I'm pretending like we should change that. I'm just saying that they didn't have the patience that that we have to exhibit today. But, Kenan, do you have a better story, or do you have a new story where Greg was wrong, or is that too many?
Well, there's plenty to pick from.
Okay.
In that category. No, yeah. I have a story. It was shortly after we met and started dating, and I had never been to the sand dunes before. That was our thing back in the day. We went at least twice a month.
Was it Glamis?
Yeah.
Okay. It was actually Ogilvy.
Oh, what's just south of, yeah. Okay.
Back then. So we went. It was Thanksgiving weekend, November 2002. And back then, we didn't have the UTVs mm-hmm. like everybody has now. It was the Easy Go and the Yamaha golf carts.
Right.
So it was a challenge. There was, I don't know, everybody loved to drive these.
12 horsepower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you had to, pick your line to try to get to
point A to point B.
Right. The hill. Mm-hmm. So one night, we had all been out dunning all day, and everybody had been drinking. Greg
wasn't drinking.
Of course,
no. Okay,
right?
He
yeah.
was stone sober. Okay.
Oh, completely, yeah. No, actually, he had a few seven and seven talls
okay.
throughout the day. So we get to the hill, and there's hundreds of people. By the time it's time to leave, he has decided to take a nap, we'll say,
okay.
in the golf cart. And I can't wake him up. So all of his buddies, I'm 21 years old. Mm-hmm. All of his friends think it's hilarious because I've never driven, especially at night. Mm-hmm. That's a whole different story at the dunes. It's funny that they have to guide me back to camp in this golf cart. So they take off, and I'm supposed to follow them. Well, they would drop down into bowls and turn their lights off. And I have no idea where I'm going. I'm holding Greg. He's falling out of the passenger side of the golf cart.
It's Sunday morning. He's praying.
It was awful. I had no idea what I was doing.
Every once
in a while.
He was
no help at all. Every once in a while, he'd come to and just say, go that way.
Do one of these.
And now, did your dad get to meet him, or did he ask your father for your hand?
He did, actually, yes.
And your dad been drinking as well that day?
Yes.
Okay.
He had to, yeah, yes, yeah. That was the only way that it was going to happen, so.
I understand.
Yeah, yeah, my parents were a little leery at first because, we're 17 years apart.
Right.
I walked into a very unique situation,
sure.
With
sure.
the my oldest two having just lost their mom.
Yeah.
So I stepped into, quite the shoes.
Yeah, something that a lot of people are fear of
right.
and afraid of, but
right.
You actually stepped up.
So my first wife, after almost a 2-year-long battle with leukemia, passed away, and the kids were
eight. Were 6 and 9.
6 and 9. Mm-hmm. So
guys don't know the answer.
They don't. Oh,
no, you correct us.
Yes.
Every date she has mm-hmm. everything. But a very good friend of both of ours introduced us. And it was, it just wasn't the kind of thing that my previous wife's friends liked mm-hmm. because, they thought, oh, there's this age difference,
okay.
Whatever. There's a whole list of things that, so it was a pretty tough deal. It was a lot tougher for her than it was for me. And,
well, if you're sleeping when you're at the dunes,
well,
of course it's going to be tougher on her.
She was taking care of a geriatric.
Yeah.
And, she came into that situation and just took over like a king. I mean, she took care of the kids. She took those kids in just like they were her own.
Sure.
She did things for those kids that I'm sure I shouldn't say no other women, but most other women probably wouldn't have
or
even come into the situation,
right.
much less.
Right.
And, we got to the point where we had our own kids, and so she has 4 kids, 2 of her own and 2 she's raised.
Okay.
And she's just amazing. She's done.
Tom, I know you really well, and so when you're out at the dunes or you're, Four Peaks and Quads and stuff like that, when the kids were younger, did you more often wear a diaper on your head or was the diaper in your lap? And you were using it to keep your Levi's clean. So which was it?
It only depended on who was driving.
Okay.
What color it was.
Okay.
if it was raining or not.
Okay, okay.
I mean, you know, you have to venture out and try different things.
Yeah, and they don't make diapers back when our kids were young like they do today. You know, they're waterproof and they snap and they got the little Velcro things.
No, I like the
things.
Cotton ones.
Yeah, the cotton ones.
No, I want
yeah.
the old ones with the yeah. little, remember the little clip, the clothes
safety pin.
Pin. Yeah,
oh.
The safety pin
okay.
with the big, you know, I had mine engraved.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, mine engraved. I wanted, you know, I wanted the whole thing.
And last
when
but
you get
not
older,
least,
you can choose what you want.
Oh, good.
No matter what it
good.
Is.
Your dad had a lot of fast boats, and your mother ski raced behind him.
Yes.
So did I think that California race was 20 or 30 miles? Did they run that?
Well, there are several races like that. Yeah, there was. There's a Catalina race, which I don't. Uh-huh. I don't think my mom ever did. So you know, you take off from Long Beach, you go to Catalina
right.
and back. But they did. It was. I think it was Long Beach was where we would go.
Or
not Long Beach. Clear Lake.
Okay. Just briefly, give us his last boat. Just give us a quick snapshot of what his last boat. How many holes? Was it a two hole or just a one hole? V hole, flat bottom.
Flat bottom.
Okay.
18 footer.
Okay.
Biesmeyer. Him and three buddies went in and bought Biesmeyer after Rusty Biesmeyer kind of ran it in the ditch.
Okay.
They took it over and started building boats. Big block Chevy.
Okay.
Back in those days, single, you know, tunnel ram sometimes with two big old Hollies on it, sometimes single.
Okay. V-drive?
780 jet. Horsepower they were building back in those days, okay. which was a huge number. You know, now they're 1,500.
Okay, they have a prop or a jet?
Prop.
Prop, okay. And you know who just recently retired is Bill Bergeron.
Yeah.
And everybody
Bergeron,
that ever had a boat. And he's the kind of guy that could look at your prop and listen to exactly what your cavitation problem was or whatever, and he could design a prop for you. He
oh,
could
yeah.
build a prop for you. He knows more about boats than anybody I've
oh,
ever
yeah. my
met
dad,
in my life.
Yeah, my dad had Bill build him several props and clean up and fix several
yeah.
props. And
so we went from props to jets, and then jets with a little bit of a trim on them, you could rooster tail your skier,
right, yeah.
and you could wash them off their skis if you just had a good knack and a big motor pushing the jet.
Yeah, my mom would only get behind the boat. Mm-hmm. She trusted my dad's driving. It wasn't really necessary to that. It's because you had an observer. So, mm-hmm. you know, the driver's sitting forward in the boat,
right.
the observer's sitting backwards in the boat. And this observer, he was a longtime friend of the family, Don Baum Sr., and he's the only one she'd get behind the boat. And he would say sometimes he could actually hear my mom yelling
mm-hmm.
over all that noise, you know, because these ropes back in the days, we weren't skiing on like a 25 or 50-foot rope. Some
right.
of these ropes were 125, 150 feet because they'd have to be that far back to stay out of the rooster tail.
Well, and then he would not say anything about hearing her scream because he's not supposed to hear her scream, and she'd probably beat him up if he said
well,
that she was back there screaming. So, anyway, Kelly has passed away a day before yesterday. Greg is his son. Tom is a friend. I'm a friend. And Kenan here is married to Greg, and the idea is he was a leader in the auto repair industry that goes back 50-plus years. He was one of the very first good guys that had a gas station. He morphed into a repair shop like most of us ended up, because I was out of the gas station, and I don't know whether you were, Tom, or not.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is that many of us, but we also remember picking up cigarette butts and being a general technician doing oil changes and watching the older guys try to teach us what we already knew. So God bless you, Kelly. God bless you, Rita. I'm sure that better days are on the horizon for you.